Hello there, guys, and welcome to Coffee Talk with Rob and Greg, episode 31. I'm Rob.
And I'm Greg. Welcome, guys. And this time on the podcast, it's going to be just little old Rob and little old Greg. Yeah. We're going to be talking about mental health awareness, because we think it's very, very important that people are more aware of it. And actually, a lot of guys don't always talk about it.
Yeah. And in particular, 10 very simple tips for how you can improve your mental health. But before we get that, I thought, in case we've got any new listeners tuning in, because we have had a few guests in, so there probably is a few new listeners, I thought we'd introduce ourselves again. So my name is Rob. I'm a personal trainer, online coach. In particular, I help people to lose weight sustainably, ditch the fad diets, and find a method that works for them in regards to losing weight. Greg, what about yourself?
I'm Greg DeTC, and I'm a small business coach, but I also write books, do the podcast with Rob. I'm a blogger and course creator, and I'm very passionate about helping people to basically take their ideas and passions and turn them into a small business model. And so basically, whether that's online or offline, local or global, I love to help. And so Rob and I have been friends now for quite a few years, and we actually met in the gym, didn't we, Rob?
Yes, we did.
He was checking out my form, so to speak, and gave me some great tips on how to train properly, didn't you?
Yeah, and we've essentially been friends ever since then, and the logical thing seemed to be to start a podcast, because that seems to be the end thing at the moment. Everyone seems to be starting a podcast,
but I feel
like we've sort of got on that bandwagon a couple of years ago, and now everybody seems to be doing it this year. This seems to be the 2020 thing. There must be a marketing test somewhere saying to start a podcast. Anyway, enough ramble. I just thought it'd be worth us reintroducing ourselves. Yeah. For the benefits of any new listeners that we've brought in, from the number of guests that we've had on, for example, the last one we had Fenella Hemus on. So yeah, make sure you go back and listen to some of the other episodes. Anyway, on to today's topic. So 10 simple tips for improving your mental health, or 10 simple tips for good mental health. First tip being to get plenty of sleep. So sleep is really important for your physical and mental health. Sleep helps to regulate the chemicals in our brain that transmit information. These chemicals are important for managing our moods, emotions, and if we don't get enough sleep, we can start to feel depressed or anxious. I could definitely agree with that. I know that if I don't get a lot of sleep, I can feel quite grumpy, I can be a bit short, and I can be a bit irritable, in all honesty. What would you say, Greg, in regards to sleep and how important
it
is?
Well, I'd have to agree with you there, and I'm already a grumpy old git, so basically, you know, if I don't get sleep, and I think I can safely say my missus is the same as me, we both love our sleep, and we both love to have 8 or 9 hours. And if we don't get enough sleep, you know, it's like when you've done, if you do a long haul flight and you get that, you know,
jet lag
and stuff, or when I used to go raving all night, and I used to go to college the next day having had no sleep and I was completely numb. Perhaps when you're younger, you know, you can cope with it more, but certainly now at my age, if I don't get enough rest, it is really painful for me emotionally, mentally. So I wonder how parents cope. I mean, I got no clue how they manage to bring up children and to get enough rest.
You know? Hats off to them.
Hats off to them.
I find the other thing as well is that if I haven't had enough sleep, I'm constantly reaching for the coffee, which obviously is not good for you. You know, you're only supposed to have so much caffeine a day. And once it's in your system, I found out recently that it's something like 6 hours is the half life of the coffee, so that's only for half of the caffeine to get out of your body, whereas I was under the impression that was how long it took for all of the caffeine.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So 12 hours before the coffee and the caffeine will have left your system.
No wonder that's the case. Then, because I had like 3 coffees the other day throughout the day, and I made a mistake of having one before bed at a restaurant, and I could not sleep. I got palpitations, I was overthinking, but I felt tired. You know, when every part of you feels tired, your body, your mind, but you can't shut off. So basically, a quick tip here, guys, is, you know, try to cut back on a coffee and things like alcohol, because that can also do it.
And other things as well, I think, that can help contribute towards getting sleep is not looking at screens before you go to bed. Because basically, the blue light and the bright light from these devices actually can interfere with what's called your circadian rhythm, which is responsible for sleep. And that blue light basically makes you stay awake. So some devices now, they actually have inbuilt a nighttime setting, so it will change. It makes the light look slightly more orangey in colour and slightly less bright.
Yeah.
And I discovered my phone has that, and I basically have that turned on constantly now. So
good.
You know, which I think does make a difference. And I can't remember what it's called, but there's some software you can get for your computer as well, where it will change the screen colour so it looks slightly more orangey. So yeah, that would be one thing I would say. And also, it's just making sure your bed is comfy, making sure it's the right temperature, not too cold, yeah, not too hot.
And if you need blackout curtains, get them. Yeah. But also, what I find is opening the window sometimes to let fresh air in.
Yes, definitely.
I get a deeper sleep. I don't know about you.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, guys, try and switch your coffee out for mint tea or something in a day. You know, and when you go to bed, maybe try Horlicks. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, swapping it out for something that's a bit lower in caffeine. So, moving on to our next tip, one that I can definitely get behind is eating well. So, eating well isn't just important for our bodies, but it's also important for our minds. Certain mineral deficiencies, such as iron and vitamin B12 deficiencies, can give us a low mood. Try to eat a balanced diet. If you find you're a particularly stressed or anxious person, you should try limiting or cutting out caffeine. We were just touching on that earlier. Mm-hmm. This can make you feel jittery or anxious. So I can definitely agree on the impact that eating healthier will have on your life. Well, I wasn't particularly aware about how deficiencies in things like vitamin B12 could cause a low mood, but I know that vitamin B12 is something that's important, and iron as well. And particularly if you're a vegan or a veggie, these are two nutrients that you're probably going to have to supplement to because you're not going to be eating meat, so you're not going to be getting as much of that from your diet. So yeah, it's something I think that generally if I haven't eaten and if I haven't eaten well, I do find that I'm generally a bit grumpier.
Me too, yeah.
I can certainly see that, you know, by eating well, you're certainly going to have more energy, which would, I think, have a positive effect on your mood, and it will certainly make you to feel a little bit better about yourself. What would you say, Greg, in regards to this?
Yeah, no, I totally reflect what you're saying on that, Rob, but I'd also say that, you know, there are certain things you can take, aren't there, like you're saying about vitamins, that the doctor can recommend or whatever if they feel as though you're deficient in a certain area. And some of these things can help with your mood as well.
So as this particular article that we're referencing mentioned, which I will include a link to in the comment in the description, it does touch on iron, and particularly in women, that's very common that women are deficient in iron because of the menstrual cycle.
Yes, so pay attention to that.
Essentially, a lot of women often find that they're not very high in energy because they're low on iron. Sources of iron tend to be things like, you can get breakfast cereals where they add iron to it, red meat, so sorry vegans and vegetarians, but it is a good source of it. So, you know, red meat gets demonized, but you do need some red meat in your diet for getting that iron. Things like spinach, kale, basically really green leafy veg is good for that, and that will also help in terms of getting your vitamins. Vitamin B12, again, you get that from meat. You can get it from various different supplements. Like, just if you're buying a multivitamin, I'd say look for one that's got vitamin B12 in it.
So you think multivitamins are all right? Because there's some people out there who don't think that.
I take a multivitamin. Yeah. You know, I think it's a good way where if you certainly find it difficult to eat enough fruit and veg, which, let's be honest, it's not hard to eat fruit and veg.
Yes.
It's certainly something that can make a positive difference.
It's good to know for the people out there, because a lot of people don't believe that it's actually got the same kind of things in it. But it is good to take if you're not doing anything else, at least.
So this next one, I'm sure you can relate a lot to from your past as a raver. So avoid alcohol, smoking, and drugs. I can totally agree with this. I think that people, like, they often use alcohol and drugs as a coping mechanism for mental health, I find.
Which is a big mistake.
And also a lot of, like, problems can be associated with alcohol, you know, causing mental health issues, and particularly drugs and things like that.
Totally, totally.
Some people would say things like the sort of more sort of things like weed, for example. I know some people say that has a positive effect on their anxiety, but again, I'd have to look at studies on that. That's purely anecdotal from what I've heard, which is, again, a lot of people seem to be using CBD oil and things like that for treating some of their mental health issues.
So CBD is more against, it's not got the effect of marijuana.
No, it doesn't have the THC in.
Just the THC, doesn't it?
This particular article, this is what it says. Drinking and smoking aren't things we always associate with withdrawal symptoms, but they can cause some, which impact your mental health. When you've had a few drinks, you can feel more depressed and anxious the next day, and it can be harder to concentrate. Excessive drinking for prolonged periods can leave you with a thiamine deficiency. Thiamine is important for our brain function, and a deficiency can lead to severe memory problems, motor brackets coordination problems, confusion, and eye problems. If you smoke between cigarettes, your body and brain go into withdrawal, which makes you irritable and anxious. Other drugs will often leave you in withdrawal and can often cause very low moods, anxiety. More severe effects of drugs include paranoia, delusions, and there is some research that suggests that drug use is related to developing mental disorders like schizophrenia. I'd have to look at the studies on that again. I'm not sure how accurate that is. It does have a couple of links there to about how to stop smoking and alcohol use. So what would you say, Greg, in regards to like smoking and alcohol?
Well, I'll be honest with you. In the past, I've pretty much done most things.
If I was a man of the world, you're a bit more experienced in regards to the, particularly the smoking and the drugs, because I've never really been a drug user myself.
No.
Alcohol, I can. I will admit, I have had a lot of alcohol in my time, and
you've
still
had,
do have
you've
alcohol
had one or
on
two,
the
haven't
odd
you?
Occasion.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, funny enough, I've gotten to the point where I've actually quit drinking. So I spent most of my life enjoying drinking, enjoying getting drunk or whatever, and I used to go to raves and stuff when I was younger, but. Yeah, I mean, if you are a drinker, it's common sense to have water in between, isn't it? Drink water in between if you drink a pint or something, yeah?
Yeah.
Stay hydrated, because actually a lot of what happens when you go to bed is you're super dehydrated if you smoke and you have alcohol. So try and drink water, try and stay hydrated, and try and eat before you go out drinking, because you line your stomach to stop you getting so, you know, ragingly drunk. And it's easy to binge drink, because if you're really, really busy... and you've got busy lives, then you just get carried away. You know, you get to the weekend, you think, oh, I'll just drink as much as I can.
Yeah.
And people are stressed, so they basically try and escape with this excited thing to look forward to. But I think we've just got to be careful of what our habits are becoming. Because if your habits have become someone who's addicted mildly to drink, drugs, alcohol, anything, cigarettes, obviously that can become a major issue and affect your mental health. And I know that I've had mental health problems in the past when I took drugs. And I know that, you know, I know the after effects of them. So I understand if any of you people out there have ever had that, you know, try to avoid doing things that are just, you just don't know what's in them anyway. So, you know, you're taking a gamble on yourself and on your life when you take things. So what I'd say to you is try and, I don't know, Rob, if you, what you think about this, but I feel as though human beings need to have something to focus on. Like, not necessarily an addiction, but what I try to do is focus more on music and on exercise rather than on the things that are going to destroy me, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of having drugs, you know, bring in the music, bring in the yoga, bring in the things that are going to help you. And actually, they become so, so enjoyable naturally.
Yeah.
They give you natural highs that are sustainable and are good for your long-term health. So just pay attention to what your habits may be and how they may be affecting you.
So moving on to the next point this article brings up, which is to get plenty of sunlight. And I can agree, although unfortunately we're a bit unlucky, me and Greg, living in the UK, we don't really get a lot of sunlight, to be honest.
we
did have a little bit yesterday, so when we do get the sunlight in the UK, you might see a lot of the pictures of us out on the beach, like with the beers and stuff. Because we don't get much sunlight, when we generally get sunlight, we do make the most of it in this country.
Indeed.
So sunlight is a great source of vitamin D. Vitamin D is really important for our bodies and our brains. It helps to release chemicals which improve mood, like endorphins and serotonin. Try to go out in the sun when you can, but make sure to keep your skin, eyes safe. 30 minutes to 2 hours a day of sunlight is ideal. During the winter, some people become depressed because they aren't getting enough sunlight. This is known as seasonal affective disorder, aka SAD. What you can actually get to deal with this is you can get these things called SAD lamps. And they basically mimic sunlight. So
yes.
I've seen these and I've heard a lot of people, various different podcasts and things I've listened to, talk about the benefits of using these SAD lamps and how it's helped them. And I think you can get ones where it kind of wakes you up, so you can set it to go off at a certain time and then it will gradually sort of turn on this light so that it looks like sun and it kind of wakes you up that way.
So
I can definitely agree with that. I'd highly recommend that looking for a supplement, a multivitamin that contains vitamin D in this country, purely because we don't get enough sunlight. You know, go on holiday, that could be something that's going to be good for your mental health as well. Going on a holiday, taking a break, taking some rest. And if it's in a hot country, that means you get plenty of vitamin D.
Absolutely, And that's good. Some good points there, Rob. And what I'd also add to that is that whilst we love the sun, we've also got to be careful of it, of course.
Yes.
So, you know, just like with getting binge drinking and getting carried away all in one go, you don't just sit in the sun with nothing protecting you. Oh, I'll be all right.
You've got to put sun lotion on, otherwise you end up looking like a bloody lobster.
And the sun can kill. You know, it can give cancer. So just like everything else, we have to do things in an intelligent way.
Which, I've had happen to me. I had my knees went like lobster. Yeah, because I was sat at the cricket all day and it was really sunny and I had shorts on, so my knees got burnt.
Yeah.
Safe to say, the next time I went, I covered up my knees and I also kept putting sun lotion on.
Yeah. Good man, see? Sometimes we learn lessons the hard way, don't we, Rob?
Yeah, we do.
The thing is, everybody loves to see a blue sky. It automatically makes your mood kind of change. But what we've also got to remember is, and something I trained myself to do, is to master the inside so that, basically, regardless of what the weather is, you still feel good.
Yeah.
So what if we basically depend on the sky being blue, but it rarely is in the UK, we're always going to be pissed off, right? So we've got to try and learn to think that, you know, every day's a good day in some way or another. So regardless of the weather, we can still feel good and make ourselves feel good. So we can sort of give ourselves therapy back.
So we move on next to managing stress.
Yes.
So we were talking a little bit about this jokingly, weren't we?
We were.
Because, like, stress, I think, is something that causes a lot of problems for mental health with people.
Very much.
Often it's related to work, but it could also be family life, stuff they've got going on in their personal life, their financial situation. And I kind of joke because as a millennial, there's a lot of memes that get shared about how we just... Basically, we're all pretty much broke and stuff like that. And the joke is that, like, employers are like, oh, yeah, we'd really want more pay. That would solve a lot of our problems. And then it's like bosses be like, here, guys, here's this, like, meditation class. Here's this exercise thing. And no, can you just pay us more? Because then we would have less stresses about money and we can actually afford to live, you know? I think a lot of stress relates to money. It relates to stuff going on in your personal life. It relates to having a high-pressure job. Another podcast I was listening to recently, and they were talking about, this girl was talking about how she left, like, the corporate world because she realised how many hours she was actually going to have to put in to make money, and she was never going to see her family, and she's never going to get a holiday. And she realised that because this guy was basically working overtime just to be able to support his three kids, and he never took a holiday, and he never really saw his wife and his kids growing up. So, you know,
this is it. So we must look after our mental health, because if we get too stressed, it's going to impinge on all our relationships.
Let's have a look at what it says. So it says, stress is often unavoidable, but knowing what triggers your stress and sees and worries, realize that they are manageable. Try avoiding burying your head in the sand and tackle problems face on. If you're having trouble sleeping or you are waking up thinking about all the things that you're stressing about, write them down and reassure yourself that you can deal with them in the morning. I've heard that before as well, about writing, keeping a stress journal.
Absolutely,
And writing down what's causing your stress. And the first thing to do is to figure out what the cause of that stress is, because then you can kind of come up with some sort of strategy to eliminate the stress or to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Like if it's money, for example, what can you do to make more money, or how can you cut back on your expenses to save yourself some money so that it becomes less of a stress?
Well, the thing is, naturally, we basically, the more stress we get, the more we think. So then we overthink, so then we get more stressed. So the key is, if you start breathing deeply and start centering yourself, and you start to realise that you don't need to let your mind go wild like a crazy monkey, you can basically just sit there and not think. And you can sort of say to yourself, I know this is kind of mindfulness-y kind of meditation, but the point is, you can do this anywhere. Yeah. You take a few deep breaths, you come back to having clarity in your mind, and you say, right, I'll deal with A, B, C.
Yeah.
Whereas we unconsciously let our minds go like crazy, we get more and more stressed. As Rob says, we bury our head in the sand and we don't deal with it, then it's only going to stay in the back of our minds all the time and build up, you know? And then when you go out drinking to escape or something, it's going to hit you, isn't it?
You're going to
carry on drinking and getting carried away. So you've got to face what is stressing you out and communicate.
I like the look of this next one as well, which is activity and exercise. So, I've spoken about this tons of times before on my social media, on my blog, in my emails. Exercise is one of the best ways to reduce stress. It's one of the best ways to improve your anxiety, and it's one of the best ways to improve your mental health.
Yes.
And the whole reason for that is because you get this release of endorphins when you exercise, and endorphins are the feel-good chemical. They make your brain...
It's a natural drug, right?
Like, they make you feel high, they make you feel good.
Yeah.
And so you're always going to be on a high when you exercise. And Arnold Schwarzenegger talks about this, how when he exercised, like, he was always on that high. And he compared it, funny enough, to an orgasm. He said it was like when he's having sex, he feels on that high all the time.
Yeah.
So this article basically says, activity and exercise are essential for maintaining good health. Being active not only gives you a sense of achievement, but it also boosts chemicals in your brain that help to put you in a good mood. That's those endorphins I was talking about. Exercising can help eliminate no mood, anxiety, stress, feeling tired and lazy. It can also be linked to living longer. So yeah, by exercising, you're going to live longer. You know, it's going to have a massive effect on your health. And also, what you might see longevity, is changes in your body shapes. If you lose weight, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself.
You're going to like
feel more body confident.
Huh.
And so that's going to have a big impact on your
mental
health.
You don't need to run a 26-mile marathon. You just need to go for walks more often.
Yeah.
You know, do something, kick a football around, play badminton. Even at home, you can do dips in the kitchen. You can do press-ups.
And literally, this is what I say, it's the basics. Like basics. One of the main things I get people to do, people think that I probably get them to do hours and hours of cardio and hours in the gym. One of the main things I literally say is, I'm like, right, you need to go and walk more. You need to do more steps on a daily basis. Do that.
Yeah.
And also do this gym session. But let's just focus on that first.
What would you say to people who are working in an office? Because obviously, if I'm talking to people who are in teams, and I talk about what we reflected on just now, which was that you've got to help each other, empower each other and communicate. And that's how you get better results in business. What would they do for a simple exercise if they're sat on their ass all day?
So the very simple thing that some people can do is don't be sat down at the desk all day. Like when you need to take a phone call, stand up to do that phone call. Don't sit at your desk and work through lunch. Actually go out of the office, get some fresh air. The other thing, drink more water, because if you're drinking more water, you're going to constantly be going back and forward to the toilet.
Right, so it forces you to get up and do stuff.
And it's just taking regular breaks essentially. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you walk up to go fill your water bottle up, you know,
Whatever works for you.
It's
basically, do something.
It's doing little things like that, and also the stuff like you can take the stairs more instead of getting a lift. Obviously, if you are on like the 30th floor and there's like 30 stairs down to the bottom, maybe just go down a few floors and then walk down some
stairs.
Better
than nothing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, something's better than
nothing. And there's even little things as well, like when you drive to your office, park that little bit further away. There's so much that you can do.
Yeah. So just incorporate little new habits into what you're doing, and you'll start to be able to raise those goals, won't you, Rob?
Yeah. I like this next point as well. Do something you enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's one of my favourite
subjects.
If
something is fun, something is enjoyable, it's always going to put you in that mood. You know, like, for me, I like enjoy gaming. I like watching Netflix. I like going to the gym.
Yeah.
I like reading your books. I like listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Anything like that is going to put you in a good mood and help you to work, you know, improve yourself, improve your mental health. So this says, try making time for doing fun things you enjoy. If you like going for a walk, painting, or a specific TV show, try to set aside time to enjoy yourself. If we don't spend any time doing the things we enjoy, we become irritable and unhappy.
Correct.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So we've got to have that kind of release and that escapism.
Yeah, you've got to have me time. Like, you can't constantly be doing work. You've got to have time to switch off.
If you're wearing all these hats all the time, and people, like, say they're parents, and they're a dad, they're a husband, they're a son, they're, you know, they've got all these roles. So sometimes you don't want to have a role. You want to just be you.
I agree.
And so you have to have that, you know, men have men caves sometimes. Women like to go shopping and fun. But I'd also say that doing something you enjoy can even be incorporated in the work thing.
I
believe in following your passions.
If you're in a job that you hate doing, you're in the wrong job. You need to get a new job. It's that pure and simple. If you really, really dread turning up to work,
exactly,
like, get another job.
And the thing is,
I know it sounds a bit privileged for me to say that, but it's true.
I've
seen so many coaches and so many business people that have spoken about this, and they're like, if you don't look forward to Mondays, if you don't look forward to going into work, you're in the wrong job.
Change it.
But
and
the problem
is,
people are scared. They're scared to take
that
leap.
Of course they are. And they want
that
security.
They worry about what's going to happen.
They've got the security of the mortgage. The thing is, when you do what you enjoy, if you're going to follow your passions, because this is one of my favourite subjects, is you can start to build something on the side of what you're already doing, you know? You can start to build your very own business online, or getting ideas for a shop or a franchise and a business plan. You can start doing that on the side. And I put an hour in every day, because guess what? If you do what you enjoy, you're happier. You're more effective, you're more productive. So if you're going to start a startup, for example, when I'm talking to teams about startups, what I say to them is, find people who are just as passionate as you are about what your vision is, because then everybody is going to grow this thing way quicker, because you're all going to be excited about your own individual roles, and you're all going to communicate well, and you're going to love what you do. It's simple. And if you look after your teams, they'll look after you.
I really like this next one as well, which is connect with others and be sociable. So I used to do a lot of business networking, and if you're self-employed, I do recommend it. So obviously, part of the reason I went is because I wanted to get some more clients, and I wanted to make some money out of it.
Yeah.
But the secondary reason was to be sociable, meet people, make connections, of course, make friends, yeah. You know, and I've got some friends I can attribute to having met through networking. And this is particularly if you're self-employed. If you're a one-man band, you work from home, you've got no co-workers.
Yeah.
Doing something like this, going out and actually meeting with other people,
it's good for your mental
health. Really good for you.
Yeah.
And it's like another thing I'd say as well is if you work from home a lot, is to maybe like even if it's just one day a week, you just go sit in a coffee shop instead of sitting at home and working.
Change your scene.
Or maybe you go to like a co-working space and you meet some people there. So I definitely suggest like it's a good way. It's good to get out and meet people. And you know, even go out to events like meetup.com is really good for finding, you know, events that are happening. You've got Eventbrite, things like that where you can find stuff to go and meet
networking sites and all that sort of thing. And the thing is, it's important because we're social creatures, human beings, so even if we like to be on our own or isolated or whatever, sometimes it makes us feel good to be less introspective.
Yeah.
We get out there, we start to find out about other people's interests, what's important to them, what matters to them. And guess what, when you take an interest in other people, it makes you feel good. Not just them, it makes you feel good as well.
Yeah.
So try and get out there, guys, and think of a new thing you can join.
So this is what the article says. Make an effort to maintain good relationships and talk to people whenever you get the chance.
Yeah.
Having friends is important, not just for your self-esteem, but also for providing support when you're not feeling too great. Research has found that talking to others for just 10 minutes can improve your memory and test scores.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing being is that talking to people is good. It's good therapy as well. And if you are feeling a little bit depressed or lonely, go and talk to somebody. Strike up a conversation anywhere. Walking around the shops, it doesn't matter. In a coffee shop or something. And, you know, take an interest in them. And actually, I promise you, it feels really good.
So next point is about doing things for others, which I think is definitely a really good thing.
Absolutely.
Are you familiar with like the saying "pay it forward"?
Absolutely.
You know, where like you basically you do something good just to pay it forward to another person.
Totally,
so that that could be like you pay for someone else's coffee. Just,
yeah.
You know, to pay it forward.
Yeah.
And some people believe that if you do these good things like that, it will happen to you, like law of attraction, that sort of thing, and reciprocity. So like it's like when if someone buys you a drink, you feel obliged to then go and buy them a drink because you're like, oh, that's really kind of you. Like I want to return that favour.
That's right. And it's a bit like the psychology of selling. If you do something for someone and you give a lot of value, they almost feel obliged to want to give something back to you. If you're building a network or you're
And
contacting
like,
someone on LinkedIn.
Like for me, like I put out a lot of free content.
Exactly.
I give it out a lot of free advice just to pay it forward. And I know that it's going to come back to me. When, you know,
and to be honest,
if they implement my advice, they see some results, they think, oh, I really must go see that, Rob. Or vice versa, if they don't implement my advice and they're like, I still haven't done a thing, I really need to go see that, Rob, you know. So it will come back to you.
It will.
You know, the universe has its way of making things come back to you and go full circle.
And the thing is, I'm always been one of those people that I like to make people feel happy. It's as simple as that. I like to make people feel good. So guess what? If I make people feel good, I feel good. And I give without the expectation of anything back.
Definitely.
So I don't expect anything back. And actually, if you always expect things back, that's just like being greedy in a way. What you want to do is just give without any expectation. And guess what? You'll be surprised at what comes back to you.
I totally agree. So this is what the article says. Helping others isn't just good for the people you're helping. It's good for you too. Helping someone can help with your self-esteem and make you feel good about your place in the world. Feeling as though you're part of the community is a really important part of your mental health. You should try volunteering for a local charity or just being neighbourly.
Absolutely, And I've done volunteering for people in the mental health industry up in Gloucester Road and stuff. And, you know, it felt really nice to be able to contribute to something that was very important in my own community. So, you know.
Yeah, and like in the gym at the moment, on Thursdays, we have this, like, Bristol Bears community project come in and they use the gym.
Nice.
And they're sort of learning a little bit about like how the fitness industry works, and they're learning how to use some of the kit, and they've been and done some of the classes, and it's kind of like a good way for like the gym to give back to the community. And actually it's come full circle to us because they've kindly donated us some tickets for Sunday so we can go watch Bristol Bears versus Harlequins for free.
Oh nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was very kind of them. They didn't have to do that, but you know, they've done that for us.
There you go, you see.
We're all going to watch the rugby. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I like this last point, and I think it's a very important point. So obviously all of those other things are great, but if you really are struggling with your mental health, you need to ask for help. Go seek some professional support. Like,
please do.
I don't consider myself to be a mental health expert or any kind of professional. So I would personally say there's much more qualified people that you could speak to than me.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly need to go and ask for help. You know, whether that be a doctor, whether that be like one of these charities like Mind, where they have like a helpline or something like the Samaritans. If you're having suicidal thoughts, call the Samaritans.
Yeah. Or you could even try things like, you know, therapy, counselling, you know, cognitive behavioural therapy.
Yeah.
You can get, in fact, if you go to the doctors, if you're depressed, they will put you on a 6-week course where you go with a few other people. You sit there and you learn all about CBT.
Yeah.
You can also go to different places where people are happy to listen to you and talk to you about it. So, and this goes out to the men out there. I don't care how macho you are, how big you are, or how, you know, how big your ego is or whatever, yeah, don't let that pride get in the way of how you feel. Yeah, because it's not weak to show your emotions. All right, it's not weak to go and ask for help. We all need help at times with different things. You know, what would you rather do, be alive and get some help, or be dead?
It's a very old-fashioned view, isn't it, that men have to be masculine and like they have to be like this all the time, and like you know, they've got to be macho, they can't cry, they can't show weakness. Like,
yeah, it's bullshit.
Which is why I think men are so stubborn and so reluctant to go and seek help.
Exactly.
But I feel like attitudes are starting to change a little bit more in that area. Like,
hopefully.
A good friend of mine, Fidel, he set up like a group specifically for men to talk about men's issues.
Good.
Because there's nothing like that out there. There's all these things for women and empowering women, but there's nothing like that for men, which is what he's trying to do.
Nice.
You know, so obviously people say, oh, that's sexist, oh, you shouldn't do that. But it's like, there's all these things for women and there's nothing for men.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. I don't see anything wrong with it, because I think sometimes men as well want to be in a group of men to talk about things. They feel embarrassed saying things in front of a woman or whatever. So they feel happier and more comfortable.
Yeah, like people can feel they're more open.
Yeah.
So what this basically says is, one of the most important ways to keep yourself mentally healthy is to recognise when you're not feeling good and to know when to ask for help. There's no shame in asking for support if you're feeling low or stressed. Everyone goes through patches they don't feel good as they should. You can try speaking to your friends or family, or if you think your mental health is getting on top of you, then you can speak to your GP. Definitely some great advice. Yeah, so I will leave a link to this article because I think it's really good, this article.
Yeah. And it was
we'll
one that,
link to that,
you know, related most to what Rob and I wanted to talk about here. We wanted to do a complete approach to it. And, you know, there may be one or two areas there which you need to start implementing more of. It may be that you need to do all of these. But you can pick and choose whichever ones you want. But we just really sincerely hope it helps you to keep on top of your mental health.
Yeah, and like I said, make sure to get help. Seek professional help. Like, we're not claiming to be experts in this.
No.
We're just sort of speaking from our own personal experiences. But seriously, if you really are struggling, get professional help. Speak to your doctor. Speak to one of these charities like Mind. Speak to the Samaritans. There's plenty of help out there that and people that can support you.
Exactly. And don't forget, I've written a book called Balance, which incorporates all of this in it, which Rob knows very well. And
like I say, if you're looking for a bit more support on the exercise side of things, because you're personally aware of how that can help, and you know, definitely speak to me. You know, you can find me in Bristol, or you can sign up to one of my online programs. You know, we'll leave the links to all of our stuff in the description down below, and leave the link to that article. As a podcast, it really helps us to grow if you can leave us with reviews, if you can subscribe, and if you share the links to the podcast on your social media. You know, share it with your friends, etc. It really does help.
I really
us
appreciate
support
it.
Us, and we will continue to do so. So yeah, make sure to do that. We'll be back soon with another episode. We have a few guests lined up that we're going to be interviewing.
Very exciting, yeah.
Make sure to go check out the previous episodes that we've done as well, and we will be back soon.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you very much.